it's time for our legislative hotline. And this week we welcome in 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins. Jason?
Yeah, third week in a row for Brad Hawkins, our 12th District right here in the area. And Brad, I was talking to Kevin Overby. We were Tuesday, as a matter of fact, had him on from the County Commission of Chelan. And he covers the legislature. He is with the Washington State Association of Counties, and they're right there, and they cover all the bills. And he said there's only 1,600 bills in the legislature this year. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? Well, we have an interesting process, too, in the legislature. And by the way, Kevin Overby is one of my favorite elected officials. We've partnered together on some important housing bills. Fortunately, the bill that I partnered with Commissioner Overby in Chelan County and Leavenworth and others was one of the 1,600, one of the few that actually made it all the way through. But the reality is, of the 1,600 or whatever, there's probably less than 10% of the bills that make it through the entire cumbersome process of the legislature to become law.
Yeah.
That's probably a really good thing, too. We want to make it difficult for bills to pass law, but there's a strict timeline and process in Olympia for bills to kind of make it through the legislative process.
And I've covered legislatures up close and personal in the Midwest, a couple of them, and the sausage is made a lot of times during the last 3 days, the session. It happens like that a lot. I'm not sure about here, but we've got a couple of bills that you wanted to bring up, though, so go into those right now.
Well, I'm sponsoring a couple of bills related to education, and I just kind of wanted to mention it because we're kind of in the middle of this committee process. And in fact, one of my bills had a hearing just yesterday morning before the Higher Education and Workforce Development Committee, which is a new committee to me. But it's a bill related to the Running Start program. And the Running Start program was created in 1990, so over 30 years ago. And it allows high school juniors and seniors to participate in either part-time or full-time in higher education courses and earn dual credits for both their college coursework as well as their high school work. And for a lot of families that are familiar with this program, there are students, for example, all throughout North Central Washington, but in particular Eastmont and Wenatchee, juniors and seniors that spend time at Wenatchee Valley College. Some of them, even by the time they graduate from high school, earn a two-year degree at the same time from Wenatchee Valley College. Now, my idea is, since the proliferation of online classes and things, especially since COVID, some of the courses are entirely online. So my idea is to have a pilot program that would allow 10th graders, sophomores, to participate in up to one Running Start class per quarter if the class is entirely online. So in a sense, it's kind of a Running Start to Running Start. And what we're really thinking about is, I'm not sure what the public policy rationale was 30 years ago for only allowing Running Start for juniors and seniors, but I suspect it could have something to do with potentially a maturity level and not wanting to mix high school students with too many high school students with college students. But now we see a lot of the Running Start classes are at the college are entirely high school students participating in Running Start. And I think if some of those are virtual, if it meets the needs of students and families and they think it's makes sense because students want to be academically challenged, or those particular 10th graders have a maturity level that could support their online success in the class, I think they should be able to do it. And I think those students, if they were able to dabble a little bit as 10th graders into Running Start, some of them might actually be more likely to get the two-year degree by the time they graduate, because otherwise it's really challenging to pull that off even if they're trying hard to do it.
I think the big deal here, coming up with your idea right now, is we went through COVID and we have so many online classes right now.
Right.
It's a natural progression, I think, where you're going with this.
Right. I think so. I kind of think it's time to modernize the Running Start program. There's sometimes a little bit of tension with funding if the student goes to the K-12 school or goes to the college, who gets the funding. But the state has pretty much figured out that system, and I think it's I think there's an opportunity to do something here to allow 10th graders to get some classes before they start their Running Start program full time.
Okay.
And really, in high school, you know, in the state of Washington, we're really trying to focus on post-secondary attainment. So actually getting degrees, not just participating in college courses. And so if something like this helps them get closer to actually getting a two-year degree and then moving on to the workforce or advancing on to a four-year school, then that's a good thing.
Okay, we want to get to the policing laws. So you had one more, I think, education bill you want to talk about?
Well, I've sponsored that bill related to broadening the school calendar and adding days. It's costly, and I don't know that my Democratic colleagues want to do that. They sort of want to nibble around the edges on education and spend more and more money every year, but they don't really always want to make a substantive change. But that's what I'm trying to do with that bill. And also, there are some other things in education that could come up this year that I know are important to our district. One, for example, is the potential to lower the threshold for school construction bonds. School districts raise money through local voter approved taxes two ways. They run levies to supplement their operations, and they also run bonds for buildings. And the way I like to describe it is levies are for learning, bonds are for buildings. Both Eastmont and Wenatchee have struggled to reach a 60% threshold, which is the current threshold for school bond passage. And but the levies have a lower threshold of 50%. And there's some discussion here in Olympia that's just sort of beginning about, you know, can we get to a point where we can lower that threshold? That idea was attempted back in 2019. I voted against it because that idea was to bring the threshold down to 50%, simple majority for bonds. I don't support that, but there might be an opportunity to find a middle ground, maybe a 55% threshold. So that'll be an interesting discussion this year if it transpires.
Okay, now there's a bill right now to do that, right, in the legislature?
Well, that would be subject to it. That bill wouldn't necessarily be subject to the cutoffs. So there was a Senate joint resolution. Basically, it's not necessarily a bill process, but it goes through the same process.
Okay.
It actually would require a slight adjustment to the state constitution related to school debt limits. So it would actually require 60% approval in the legislature, both the House and Senate, and then go to the voters statewide for a simple majority vote.
Sure. Okay. All right, so that's happening, and then you wanted to talk about there's activity constantly about the policing laws and the pursuit laws, the chase laws, and whether they can engage in a police chase, and there's some activity there that you're noticing.
Yes, so thanks for the opportunity. This issue will not go away, and in part because House and Senate Republicans, as well as many Democrats in both chambers, will not let this go away. So a couple years ago, as KPQ has reported, the legislature in making a series of different police reform bills, of which I voted against, lowered the standard, or actually increased the standard for police pursuits from a reasonable suspicion standard to a probable cause standard. And that basically has prevented law enforcement from engaging in pursuits, and a lot of the criminals go free, and they know this. And so we are trying to make an effort to return that standard back to reasonable suspicion, where it had been for several years. And we tried to do that last year, but one particular senator blocked it. And this year we have bipartisan bills in the legislature, but that particular senator, Senator Moncadingra, who is the chair of the Senate Law and Justice Committee, had declared that she will not allow either the Senate bill to advance or the House bill to come through her committee if it makes it through the House. And so just recently, the Senate Republican minority leader has circulated a bipartisan letter that we can sign on to And it will receive many, many bipartisan signatures in the legislature to urge action this year to restore police pursuits back to its original standard.
So, but just signatures, that I'm going to guess doesn't have a lot of teeth unless it motivates some people.
Well, that's right. But I think it will demonstrate the broad bipartisan support that we believe exists in the legislature to return the police pursuit statute to its original standard. Legislators from communities from all over the state have been contacting their legislators to describe this problem. And I believe many of the legislators, even those that voted for moving the standard to probable cause, realize they made a mistake now. And if there's enough groundswell of support, then it could have the effect of overtaking even a committee chair. The committee chairs have very powerful positions, especially in the Senate, when there's fewer members on each committee. But if there are enough members of one caucus that support it, then they have the ability under the Senate rules to bring bills to the floor for a vote.
Really?
And sort of bypass. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if we can do that. Obviously, that creates a lot of different dynamics within the caucuses.
So that would be bypassing the committee process, I guess.
Yes, and you need to have a certain number of votes, uh-huh. and it's a very high threshold, and I don't know if we can accomplish that. But maybe the letter, if it demonstrates there's enough bipartisan signatures, it will put pressure on the committee chair to at least move the bill through her committee, even if she votes against it, to at least move the bill through.
And of course, one of her colleagues in the caucus there, Democrat, is at Lubbock, who was the former state trooper, had a bill to do exactly that, back to the reasonable suspicion
right. He's the prime sponsor of the Senate bill, of the bipartisan Senate bill. So I just appreciate the opportunity to discuss this. I know we've discussed it before, Jason. I know that you and Chris have brought it, to have some questions of Representative Kretz and Representative Maycumber as well, because mm-hmm. I listened prior week. But, we are trying our best to get this bill through. And the governor, I believe, has even signaled that something needs to be done, both with this bill as well as the felony drug possession issue and things like that related to the state Supreme Court Blake decision.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because even the governor is sort of signaling, hey, this is okay. If you get a bill to me, so it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out in the weeks ahead.
And Jacqueline Maycumber from the 7th District, who you were probably listening to, she actually sponsors one of those bills to bring back, I think it's just, it's not felony, it's going to be misdemeanor to that.
Right now it's currently at a gross misdemeanor standard. Some people want to bring it back to a felony, but ultimately for drug possession, we need to make sure people get treatment. But when it came to police pursuits, Representative Maycumber said it best when you interviewed her. She said basically people can be standing there at their car alongside law enforcement, and someone can steal your car right in front of you and drive away, and you can't do anything about it. And to me, that says it all.
Pretty obvious. Okay, Senator Brad Hawkins, great to have you with us. 3 weeks in a row, third time's a charm. Actually, every time was a charm, all three. So great to have you with us. We will be with the 7th District surely short next week, we believe, to have you again on in 2 weeks or so. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Legislative Hotline.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. Really appreciate it.